Morning. Are you all awake? Great. Doesn't look like it, but I'll take your word for it. It's good to see you and welcome you to worship once again. As you know, I always say to you that tea and coffee are available following our worship this morning, and that's happening again today, and that's in the community hall just straight through their swing doors. We're having a 12:05 on the triangle. We'll be holding an open air. You're invited to come along and join with us for that 20 minutes or so. Tomorrow, the Sallywags will meet as usual, and I ask the members of the PCC to meet at 1:30 tomorrow in the community hall. On Wednesday, Friends Together starts at 1:30. Thursday's a very busy day. We have from 10 to 12 our coffee morning, which started last week and was a raging success. And so please continue to support the coffee morning on a Thursday. That's 10 o'clock till 12. FIFE, the group from many countries, meet at 10:30. And Explorers, the youngsters, at 3:30, all on Thursday. Next Sunday evening is the first in the series of Army Basics. Now, for those of you who've just recently come into the Salvation Army, here's an opportunity for you to find out what the Salvation Army is all about, what it believes, its doctrines, the way it worships, the mission, and that will be under the leadership of our captain. If you are a Salvationist, you've been here for long, maybe it's good if you come along and find out what you're supposed to be doing and believe for the last 20 years. And I think that would be useful to come and revise what we actually do believe. Now, I'm only going to say this once. Well, I've said it once, so I'm going to say it twice. Since the pandemic, we've received your offering on the plate at the door as you've walked out. But from today, we're going to bring it back into the worship and into our meeting. And so during the meeting this morning, there will be a song. And during that song, we'll have an opportunity for you to put your offering on the plate. And I invite those who are taking up the collection, if you can bring it forward and place it on the holiness table, then we can ask God's blessing upon it. Thank you very much for listening. Now I'm going to hand over to Captain, who is going to introduce our very special guests.
Good morning, everyone, and it's good to welcome you all here this morning. It's good for us to be back and to be back home too. It's my pleasure this morning to welcome Majors Nick and Kerry Koch from Territorial Headquarters. Nick is the Territorial Coordinator for Justice and Reconciliation, and Kerry is the Assistant Secretary for Mission. We like convoluted titles. But it's good for us to welcome our friends with us this morning. Kerry and Nick are known to many, not least because Kerry, well, you were here, weren't you? You lived here, you belonged to the Corps, while your dad and then later stepmum were the officers here. So let's welcome Nick and Kerry, and we look forward to what they've got to bring to us this morning.
Thank you. It's good to be home. It's a long time since I've been here, 30-something years since I lived here. So some of you weren't born, some of you have never met me before, but some of you I do know and love and hold and cherish in my heart. And I think now I'm a little bit distanced, I can say I am so sorry for doing things like making you turn your collar around, Trevor, whilst you're playing, for all of the crazy sketches we did here, the drama sketches, for Basic, you remember, Brothers and Sisters in Christ, for all the shenanigans that went on in the 80s. But you supported me in my discipleship, you helped me to grow, and that's part of the reason why I'm an officer today. So thank you. Thank you for what you've done. We're going to worship together this morning, and we're going to begin by joining in a call to worship based on Psalm 100. So if you're able to stand, please do. If you are able to read English, then we have the psalm on the screens for you. If you're not able to read or you can't see it properly, then just allow the scripture to wash over you this morning as it's spoken. But please do stand, and when you're prompted to read, do join in with me on this psalm, Psalm 100, as we begin our morning in worship. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Bring your silence and your shouting as introverts and extroverts. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Bring your songs and your stories, your struggles and your sacrifices.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He designed and created us. He understands us and is intensely interested in us. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Bring your gifts and your personalities, your strengths and weaknesses, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
He is just and wise,
honest and true,
caring and compassionate,
eternal and holy. He is God. Amen. We're going to sing together now that we all know who's over 50 in the room. The words are on the screen. If you want to use your songbook, it's song number 41. Let's join in with our worship with the whole of creation. Let all the world in every corner sing. So we're going to sing again. It's a beautiful song. It's number 402 if you're looking in a songbook. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, everything around me brings me to the seat of Jesus. So as we sing this song together, we remember that everything becomes a shadow in the light of Christ. All the stuff that we're going through, we bring that with us. That's what we said in that psalm. We bring who we are. We bring whether we're introverts or extroverts. We bring our pain. We bring our joy. We bring it all with us. And yet, all of that, all of it is a shadow compared to the face of Christ. How wonderful is that? So we're singing together, when I look into your holiness, everything becomes beautiful in the light of you.
Oh, yes. May I gaze into your
we sing this song again, we're going to spend some time in prayer. And I wonder if you can just close your eyes and look back on this last week that you've just experienced, which will be ever so different for every single one of us. And try to think of something or someone this week in whom or in which you saw the face of Christ. A person or a situation, something you've read about, something you saw in the news, a glimpse of the face of Christ. And maybe someone would like to pray and just give thanks now that we're able to turn our faces towards the light of Christ. Would somebody pray for us, please? Sing that beautiful song again, and as we do, really dig deep in your heart and picture the face of Christ. That's who we're here to worship. With all the stuff that we've had this week, we worship him. Let's sing together. Thank you. We praise you. We acknowledge that you are here with us. We love you. We worship you. May your Spirit move among us this morning. May your Son help us to become more like you. And Father, will you guide and direct and strengthen us? In your name we pray. Amen. Let's listen to the songsters now as they sing Everywhere.
Thank you.
thank you to the songsters for reminding us God's love is everywhere. So, as the captain said, Nick and I have appointments at THQ in the world of both mission and in social justice. And we're aware that you are taking a look at some of the Salvation Army's mission priorities. One of them is about seeking social justice and reconciliation. So we thought we'd hone in on that, if that's okay, just to help you in your understanding of social justice and reconciliation, which is also connected with mission. We have something particular that we felt was for you today. You have a wonderful tradition in this corps of mercy ministries into the community. That's something that's happened for a long, long time. And you really understand that, and you really know what it means to help people in this community. But what we want you to get to grips with a bit more this morning is what difference that makes in terms of social justice. It may be that you feel you know that kind of thing already, and perhaps you do, but there's always more to learn. There's always more to look for and always more to see. Sometimes we have to move things out of the way in order to see the thing that we're trying to look at, to really see the need, to really see the person, to really see the situation. And these things can become easier over time. The more practice we have at doing that, the more practice we have at moving things out of the way and looking. So I thought we should play. Forgive me for my cough. It's not COVID, but I'm recovering. I know, because everybody immediately backs off. I'm just recovering from a cough. I thought we'd play a game to illustrate this. And this is the point at which you're never going to invite us back again, because it involves squirty cream. Right. Okay, I'm going to turn this on. I almost did that deliberately, didn't I? It was hidden. Okay, for this game, whilst I finish preparing with the squirty cream, I need two teams. Now, I know that Catherine is very good at organising people into teams. So, Catherine, could you come and get two teams? It doesn't have to just be children, but it would be lovely to have the children. It can also be adults if you're particularly keen on squirty cream. So you can only play this game if you haven't got an allergy to dairy, crisps, grapes, or orange juice. If you don't have allergies to any of those things, if you're free of allergies, come and play, okay? I'm going to squirt away for a second. Okay, do I have my two teams? You can pick adults. Catherine just said, did you say I could pick adults? Catherine, you are a woman after my own heart. Yes. Who do you want to humiliate? Claire? Yes, okay. Oh. Okay, so we've got an adult on each team. No? Pardon? You are going to be in the team, yes. Okay, so let's split them into two. Can you do that, Catherine? Split everybody into two. So Catherine's team, and what's your name, sorry?
Claire.
Catherine, would you like to be the purple or the green team? Catherine's in the purple team. Claire is in the green team. Now, the aim of this game, if you can't see, you might need to stand up, because there are cups here at the front. I'll lift one up for you to see. Here's one with squirty cream in it. There are cups at the front, and at the bottom of each cup is a letter or a word or a number, not a word, a letter or a number or a symbol, and you can't see it. It's hard in our communities to see sometimes some of the things that are going on. You can't see it. So they've got to get rid of the food that's blocking the way. So what you need to do is go and stand over by the bandmaster over there. I think let's stand in front of Captain Lizette over here, just maybe in this little bit here, in your teams. And in a relay race fashion, I'm going to move this, because I'm a bit worried about that, getting cream on it. In a relay race fashion and with some fantastic music in just a moment, we are going to encourage them as loudly as we can, and they are going to run across and start by eating whatever's in the first container. So the second group that gets there will eat whatever's in the second container. And using your pen, so adults, you might need to help, you write whatever is underneath on the place on the paper, okay? And that is going to tell us what is hidden underneath the cups. Does everybody understand? So you've got your baton, which is your pen. You run over when the music starts. You eat the thing as quick as you can. You write what you see underneath by looking at it like this. You'll see what's underneath. And then you run back and give the pen to the next person, and then they run up. And we see who gets the most letters, numbers, or symbols, okay? And there is a prize. For the winning team, there is a prize, okay? Are we ready? So who are the first two contestants to go? I don't know your name. What's your name, young man? Max and who's the first? Max and Felicity are going to go. Are we ready? Music maestro at the back. Here we go. On your marks. Get set. Go. Run, 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 run. So you do the first one or second one. Doesn't matter which one. You can do this one. No, you have to eat the food. So he's trying to eat the crisps with a pen. I don't know what goes on in Max's house. As fast as you can, eating the food, but not choking. Let's encourage them. Can you see them at the back? You can stand up if you can't see them. What have they got going on? You can start to see it. What's hidden at the bottom of the cup? What could it be? What could it be? Do you need somebody to help you eat it? No, it's... Okay, yes, okay. Now run back, run back, run back. You've done it. Run back. Take your baton back. Run back, run back. Okay, what have you got at the bottom of yours? What can you see? Okay, so here's the green team. Go and get the next one. Okay, we've got L and we've got U. What could it be? As fast as you can, the most that you can... Oh, yes, the cream is going in at quite a speed. It's in, it's going in, it's in. Okay, and the drink. Oh, no, that was that one. Put it on there. What does that one say? Okay, we'll take a pen back. Excellent. So we got L-U-K-E. What could it say? What could it say? Catherine, your mouth is full of cream. Who are you going to give it to? Who's next in your team? No? The bandmaster wants to go. The bandmaster wants to go. Here he is. Here he is. He's running. He's going to help Max to eat it. You've got to go for the cream. Got to go for the cream. Are you going for the crisps? Okay, you can do the crisps if you want. What does it say? It's a 1 and a 9, which is a 19. So we've got L-U-K-E 19. What could it be? What can we see? L-U-K-E 19. Oh, there was nothing weird in that cream. What have you got? A 1. There's something missing there, so you put the 1 there. There you go. Here's the cream. Here's the cream. What's your name? Mia is going to wolf down the cream at a speed that we've never seen before. Here it goes. It's going in. It's going in. She doesn't yet know all about the how. You can squirt it straight in. I'll give it to you afterwards. You can squirt it straight in. What is it? What does it say? Can you see it? You can't see anything? Turn it around. What does it look like? Two little dots. Two little dots. A colon. Okay, so far, we've got L-U-K-E, 19, 1, 2, Max, it's all on this, it's all on this. Come on, Max, down it goes. Uh-oh, we're having a big incident. Who does Max belong to? I'm sorry. It's going down. Can you see? What does it say? What colour are you? This one. What did it say? 10! Ladies and gentlemen, we have the answer. Let's have our beautiful contestants up to the front, please. Let's see who has got the most. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 purples. 1, 2, 3 greens. So the purple team win. Who was the purple team? Nick, could we have the prize, please? You can share them. Percy Pigs! The winning team's the purple team. And are there any more people in your team, or shall we give the runners-up the other one? Why don't you share them out? There you go. You're in green. Well, you can share those. Well done to our wonderful contestants. I didn't even do any of the running, but But I was just in it with them, you know, they did really, really well. Is there a bit, there's a bit of sharing of the prize. So the winning, the sentence that we found on the bottom of our cups was Luke 19, 1 to 10. This is our Bible reading. That's what we managed to find. What I would like is for somebody to look up for me as a volunteer, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, because we're going to have a volunteer come and read it. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Has somebody offering to do this so that I don't need... Thank you. What is your name?
James.
Right, not right now, James. Hold on a sec. Look, he's so excited. Luke, there are no more Percy Pigs, just putting it out there. They're all gone. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10 in just a minute. It's hard to see what's in front of us sometimes. Now, you won't be able to see. Only the children will have been able to see. At the bottom of the cups was the special message, the code. But they had to get rid of stuff first. It's hard to be able to see things. And sometimes in our communities, in this community, in the streets around this core, within this core, this church fellowship, in our own personal lives, there are things getting in the way of us seeing the message. Things that need to be cleared out of the way to get a better look. Sometimes we have to work together as a community to clear those things out of the way to get a better look. Sometimes we have to humble ourselves. Thank you for humbling yourself to join in there. And sometimes we just have to get on with it and do the deed, do the work to have a look. Here's a story, which we're going to have read to us, very well-known story about a man who had to do all of that to get a better look at Jesus.
And being 6'3", I'm the person least likely that should be reading this, but never mind. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Thank you. We're going to look at that together a little later, but now we're going to take up our offering. And as we do so, we're going to sing song number 601 in our songbook on the screen. You'll see it. "Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed." Was that not the story of Zacchaeus? "Let my heart be changed and renewed in the face of Jesus." Let's stand together and sing this as we take up the offering.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for all that you have given us and all that you do for us. We realize that our offering is very small compared with your great love. But I just pray that, Lord, you will accept our gifts this morning. And I pray that they will be used wisely for the extension of your kingdom here in our town of Felixstowe. I ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please take your seats as we listen to the band play Crowning Glory.
Very much to the band, and what better music if you're going to do a talk about social justice, a march, that's what we need, to rouse us this morning when we're thinking about this subject. So in our world today, I think we could safely say there are many who fight for social justice. We have all these movements that sweep across the world, whether it's something like Black Lives Matter or Me Too, or Extinction Rebellion. You've heard of some of these movements, right? They've swept across our world, justice movements, fighting and highlighting issues like racism, gender equality, climate justice. These are things that are constantly in our media and in our world today. Now, over 20 years ago, when I was in training, and Kerry and I were at the training college, we used to talk about justice quite a lot, but back then, 20 years ago, it seemed to me at least that we were trying to convince people, our fellow session mates and other Christians in the Salvation Army, that social justice was something we should be more bothered about, perhaps, than we were. Today, I think, we're a little bit more advanced in our thinking, and social justice appears to be everywhere. But of course, when we think about the Salvation Army, We tend to think of a Salvation Army that is very good at social service. Is that true? Very, very good at social service. I'm sure that's true here in Felixstowe. That we are good at serving those in our communities who are in need. We sort of take up this role of the Good Samaritan in our communities and across the world, where we help those who have trouble on the road of life, have found themselves in need for one reason or another. We feed the hungry, we care for the lonely, we clothe the naked. And this is what the Salvation Army has traditionally been very good at. And it's part of what drew me to want to be part of the Salvation Army. And that's all well and good. But I think what I want to say this morning is that I think that isn't quite enough. I think there's a step beyond service and meeting needs. And that is the step of fighting for social justice. And the great American civil rights leader, Martin Luther King Jr., he helps us to understand this. Here's a quote from him from one of his sermons on the Good Samaritan. He said this, he said, "I admire the Good Samaritan, but I don't want to be one. I don't want to spend my life picking up people by the side of the road after they've been beaten up and robbed. I want to change the Jericho Road so that everybody has an opportunity for a job, education, security, health." I think that helps us to get to the root of what we understand and think of when we think of this idea of social justice. While social service is a loving response to those in need, social justice comes along and asks the hard questions of why people find themselves in need in the first place. So I want to say this morning, I'm the Justice and Reconciliation Coordinator for the Salvation Army, so this is something I'm passionate about. I want to stand with Martin Luther King and say that we Christians need to do a little bit more than just be good Samaritans. As amazing as that is, and we absolutely should be all about helping those in need, that is what we're about, but I believe God is also calling us to go deeper and to dive into the issues of injustice in our world at our time and at this place, even in Felixstowe. The great German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, he gave his life fighting against, standing up to the Nazis. He said this, "We are not to simply bandage the wounds of victims beneath the wheels of injustice. We are to drive a spoke into the wheel itself." That's what it means to fight for social justice. And the foundation of this is not just some newfangled idea, some new sort of theology that, or secular kind of thinking that is coming onto the church. But actually, when we look at Scripture, we see the foundations of this is absolutely right there in Scripture. There's an American theologian called Jim Wallace, a sort of activist. He once decided to go through the Bible when he was a student and cut out every single verse with a pair of scissors that referred to poverty and wealth, oppression, and social justice. By the time he'd finished, his Bible was in tatters. He discovered over 2,000 verses. And he would go to churches and Christian conferences and he would hold up this Bible that he'd spent all this time cutting out these verses and he'd say, "Sometimes this is a bit like the Bible that we read. It's full of holes because we pick and choose the verses that we like and we don't sort of take the whole." And he would challenge the people listening to him to see that justice is an absolutely key component to Scripture. And if we don't recognise that, then we're selectively reading Scripture. Because justice is all over Scripture. If we want to take the Bible seriously, we need to take justice seriously. So what does the Bible say? Well, firstly, in the Old Testament, there are two Hebrew words that are commonly translated as justice when it's translated into English. The first one is a Hebrew word, mishpat. Do you want to say it? Mishpat. Mishpat. And mishpat is this idea of what most of us think when we think of justice. So it's ideas of equality or equity, fairness, people getting what they're due, and this is what legal systems are built on, this idea of mishpat, the kind of justice that underpins our legal system in this country, for example. And through the Old Testament, we see this idea developing, and you'll know from your own reading of Scripture, you see the laws of different things coming in throughout Scripture over time. But in the Old Testament, there's a second word that we translate as justice, and it's this word tzadika. Let's hear it. Tzadika. So you have mishpat, and you have tzadika. And tzadika is a little bit different in that when it talks about justice, it's about relationships between people and having the right kind of relationships with others and how that is an essential part of what justice is about. And so we see in Scripture, for example, in a very well-known verse, in Amos 5, verse 8, it says this. It says, let justice, mishpat, roll on like a river, and righteousness, which is often the way we translate to make so we can see the difference between the two words, righteousness like a never-failing stream. And you'll know in Scripture, those who've delved into the Old Testament, that this idea of justice and righteousness are always paired together. Relationship, this is important, are getting right relationship with others just as part of this whole thing of justice. It's a whole connection. And so what is the calling on us? Well, it's to ensure that society that we live in oversees a system of justice for everybody. And it makes space for right relationship and reconciliation between people. It's both systemic and it's personal. The Bible doesn't really let us anybody off the hook in this. We are all involved, whether we like it or not. How we treat people in our home, in our church, in our country, in our world, it's all connected, personal, systemic, small, micro, and massive, macro. This is what the Old Testament prophet Amos is calling for when he rudely points out to the Hebrew nation that they're failing in their duty to be just. It's not enough just to go to worship and sing songs, says Amos. You must also ensure that justice and righteousness, mishpat and tzedakah, is enacted in every level of society. That's God's calling on the people of Israel, and that's the calling on us today. If we really want to kind of understand what this looks like in reality, then who's better to look at than how does Jesus deal with this? How does Jesus enact this idea of justice in his own ministry? So we saw it absolutely in this Bible reading that we had today. We could look at many different stories of how Jesus behaves, but the story of Zacchaeus is actually a pretty perfect story where we want to see how mishpat and tzedakah, justice and righteousness come together. And the first thing that we can think about is that Jesus noticed Zacchaeus. So the beginning of social justice is taking notice and paying attention to where injustice happens. Sometimes we see injustice, but we don't do anything about it because it seems a bit too difficult to do anything about. And we think, well, what can little old me do about that? But just as Jesus rode into Jericho, it's interesting that he noticed the man in the tree. Zacchaeus was there because he wasn't very tall, as Luke tells us. But he was also there because he was not a welcome figure in his community. He was a tax collector. He collaborated with the Roman authorities, he stole money from people, and he'd become very rich on the back of that. Most people would just ignore him, but not Jesus. Jesus sees him. He stops to talk to him. He even says he wants to go to his house. He wants to get to know him. This is where justice seeking starts. We must be willing to see it, to open our eyes to see it, and to get to know what it's really about, to sit and engage with it in a personal way. And so I encourage you, when we think about justice, not to just think it's something we can do from behind a computer screen, for example. I know lots of people like to do tweeting and petitions online and all that sort of stuff, which is fine, but it's not really personally getting involved in the issues themselves. That's what Jesus did. He got involved in the messiness of people's lives. He got personally involved in Zacchaeus' life, and it didn't go down well, did it, with the people of Jericho. What is it they said? He's gone to the house of a sinner, they complained. But look what happened next. And this is the second thing for us to learn. Because of Jesus' intervention, because he took a risk of personally getting involved, Zacchaeus was convicted of his sin. And amazingly, we see this turnaround of Zacchaeus where he makes reparations to all people he had cheated. He even gave back more than he had stolen from them. That was amazing. Paid back four times what he owed. In this case, what we see is mishpat, this idea of justice being enacted. Justice was done. And I believe that's what God is calling us to do today in fighting for justice. That we are called to tackle injustice face to face, not from a distance, but we to personally get involved in this work of tackling injustice. This is what Jesus did with Zacchaeus, and it led to mishpat, to this justice. He didn't stand above the fray, sort of looking down and judging it. He delved right into it. But that wasn't the end of the story. There's a third dimension to the story, and it's not just mishpat that was enacted. We also see tzedakah come into play because right relationships were established in the end. Zacchaeus was this figure who was an outcast. But what does the story show us? That actually he's brought back into the community, right relationships restored. Salvation came to Zacchaeus' house, says Jesus. This was a salvation that touched him personally. He repented of his sin, behaved differently. No longer was he the sinner everyone hated. He'd now become a neighbour again. He was restored, forgiven, and reconciled. This is what we're called to do as believers, as Christian believers, as followers of Jesus, this idea of restorative justice. This is what one writer, Rachel Held Evans, says about restorative justice. What I love about the ministry of Jesus is that he identified the poor as blessed and the rich as needy, and then he went and ministered to them both. This, I think, is the difference between charity and justice. Justice means moving beyond the dichotomy between those who need and those who supply, and confronting the frightening and beautiful reality that we desperately need one another. This is what the Christian vision of justice looks like. This is the observation about how Jesus went about his ministry. The world isn't split into good and bad, the just and the unjust, the sinner and the righteous. What Jesus does, he recognizes that we are all, every single one of us, in need of salvation. His focus was on bringing justice and righteousness, mishpat and tzedakah together. This is restorative justice. This is what God does when he sees us, even with all our sin, and he extends his grace to us and forgives us, restores our relationship with him, brings us into his family. This is what Jesus did on the cross when he went to his death so that we could become children of God and find salvation, even though we didn't deserve it. This is restorative justice. And his call on us is to extend that same restorative justice to others. So I finish with this. May we see the injustice around us. May we notice those who suffer because of systemic injustice. May we be unafraid to step into the messiness of our world and confront injustice. May we recognise that we too are in need of the same restorative justice that we see in others. May we welcome Jesus, Saviour and Restorer, God of Mishpat and Tzedakah, into our homes, into our lives, into our church, into our streets, our workplaces, our nation, and our world. May we become a people of restorative justice, a reconciliation people. And may we look into the eyes of another and notice, really notice, who they really are in Christ.
To the Zoom, if you want to access to this.
Just pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, will you help us to look into the eyes of people around us, people in this community, people in this county, people in this nation who need your justice, your righteousness, your restoration. Will you, by your Spirit, help to clear away the stuff which is stopping us from seeing, really seeing, the person that stands before us? Will you help us to build a world which is more like the world that you wanted it to be? Will you help us to see the face of Christ in our neighbor? Will you help us to keep our eyes fixed on you? Father, we're so sorry when we have put stuff in the way. And perhaps because we're scared, we haven't put ourselves into those places which would be difficult, but absolutely the right place to be, to stand up for truth and for justice, to speak truth to power in the places where things are not working in the way that you want them to work. Jesus, will you crack open our heart to see the places in this community where we can do that and bring about transformation to the people who live here amongst us? Father, we thank you for Jesus, who taught us how to bring right relationships through the death, through his blood. We ourselves are made right with you, and we want that for everybody in our community, beginning with a fair and just way of living. Be with us, we pray. Amen. We're going to finish by singing song 998 from the Justice section of our songbook. You may know this, you may not have sung it for a while. Beauty for brokenness, that's what we want. Instead of all the horribleness, we want beauty, the beauty of Christ. So shall we stand together? There are 5 verses in this. How many do you want to play? It's quite a lot of verses for a band. We'll sing 3 verses. We're going to sing the first verse, the second verse and the 5th verse, okay? So verse 1, verse 2, and verse 5. And then after that, we'll sit for a visual benediction. Let's stand together. Verse 1, verse 2, and verse 5.